Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. My name is Divine Queen, and I am here with my magical enlightened king. Chris, say what's good to the fam.
What's good, family? What it do? It's the magic man coming through. You know what I'm saying?
You the magic man?
I'm the magic man. I think make things happen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That sounded like an old man.
That does sound like an old man.
I developed it over the last 42 years of my existence.
You are really embracing this old man thing.
Man,
lately.
I've always wanted to be an older seasoned gentleman.
Why?
Because seasoned gentlemen just got a certain swag that I've always admired.
Old swag?
Yeah. Old swag. Not Old Spice, but Old Swag. Yeah.
You should make your own cologne called Old Swag.
Ooh, that sounds funky. Yeah.
He's silly. Well, fam, we want to thank you for tuning in with us again. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Tonight, we are doing something really near and dear to moi. If you are a follower of mine on Facebook or Instagram, or you just know about me and everything, you know that I love all magical type of things, beans.
Fiends.
Items, all that kind of stuff. I'm all about the magic. I know I was a witch in a past life.
Yeah. And I was a warlock.
You are an old wizard.
I probably was. You like this better? I'm so old.
Will you stop?
Okay.
Yes, fam. So we're going to have a great show lined up for you tonight. We have so much information to share with you guys that I don't know if we're going to be able to get it all in tonight. We may have to do a part two.
We got to do a part four.
But we're going to try to get in what we can get in. But before we do that, we're going to do like we do on every show. And let's talk about what we want to talk about, because we pay the bills. So we can do that. So, what's going on, Chris?
You know, this weekend, I just kicked it. It was an easy weekend. I kicked it with my niece, Maya. What's up, Maya? My nephew, Tony. What's good, T-Money? We had a good little time, you know. Maya and Tony, we had
we
a good
did.
Little time.
We watched some good movies.
We watched
some good cartoons.
We watched some great cartoons.
Yeah.
Smallfoot.
Yeah. We're going to have to go in on that one on movie night.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Next
Gen. That was a really good one. Next Gen was good too.
We watched some good movies this weekend with the cheering.
Yeah.
With cheering.
Yeah, we kicked it with the kids this weekend, so that was fun. That was good. It's always good to see the younger generation having fun and,
yeah,
you know, heads down in their phones the whole time. You're trying to have a conversation with them, and they're like, hold up, I got to beat this level.
Yeah, I only made eye contact with them once, and they were asleep. I had to open their eyes. I mean, okay, they still got their eyes. Okay.
Hold up, I got to beat this level. I got one man left.
I said something to Maya. She didn't even hear me. I was like, Maya, did you know? Maya. No eye contact. I was like, okay.
It's all good. That's their thing.
That's their thing.
You know, we would have had it when we were young. We would have been the same way.
Yeah, I had board games playing. I bought them some toys. They're like, no, we just, what's the internet password? I was like, okay. Here's my wet key.
Give me the password.
Yeah. I didn't even take her shoes off. She's like, what's your password? I was like, dang.
That's when you know we're getting old.
I ain't asking no one's keys when I walk in the house.
I was like, should we buy a board game? Should we buy Hungry Hungry Hippo or Monopoly or something? No. What's the password?
Yeah, what's the password? You want to play
dominoes? We got games.
I do enough math in school. What's your password? It's like, okay.
It was funny. And today we just came back from dinner, so we're a little
full.
Yeah. Well, our energy is still good, but it's just not as high as it normally is.
Yeah, we had some beer batter snapper fried with, what's the name of that cheese, baby? Spanish cheese, Mexican cheese.
That's some kind of Mexican cheese. I can't think of the name.
It resembles feta with more flavor.
Yeah. I don't know. I think feta has more flavor.
Do you?
I do.
Feta has more of a pungent flavor. This had more of a clean flavor.
I like the pungent.
It's all good.
The pungent.
I like a plethora of titillating treats on my mandible.
Well, good for you.
And it has the pickled fruit and vegetables on there.
Mm-hmm.
With that purple sauce, whatever that is, that drips out when you bite it.
You know what? It's not purple sauce. It's some kind of like cream. I can't think of what it's called. It's like a...
let's just call it Spanish creme de la creme.
No.
Okay.
It's like a sour cream, but what makes it purple is the pickled vegetables.
That makes sense, babe.
Mm-hmm.
You're very astute.
I am. Thank
Facts.
You. Smarticle like that.
Yeah. And then we washed it down with a half of a Cuban.
I was going to say, we have water.
We had a half of Cuban and an aquatic roll.
Yeah, we had to.
They messed up my order.
Yeah, so we didn't get to eat. We didn't really get to eat.
I'm going to put them on blast. I know it's a show about creatures and stuff, but I said I like to have three snappers.
Tacos.
With extra Mexican cheese, please. He was like, okay, ma'am, what would you like? She said, I want the exact same thing. And I retorted, even with extra cheese. He brings the food out, and I get nothing. Divine Queen's halfway done with her meal, and he was like, I almost forgot yours. I was like, Skippy. And then he brings me one.
Yeah, he brought the guy next to you a full order and brought you out one.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, where are my other two?
Well, I share mine with you, though.
You did, and it was all good. I sold a book, so we're winning. Okay.
All right, so yeah, it was an eventful day.
What about fish, man? We drove 32 minutes for my fish. Sheesh. Okay.
Well, he gave you some good ideas about the book, though, so that was nice.
I knew that already.
Yeah, no,
I was just
did.
Being
I
nice.
I told you that.
Really? An audio book? I didn't think of that.
I was just trying to be.
Yeah.
Okay. So, magical spirit beads. We have this thing whenever we go out to eat. And whenever they mess up Chris' order or my order, Chris gets so mad in the restaurant. It's like the demon comes out of him.
I got to sweat. Don't let this nice guy fool you. I am a warrior, buddy. I'll hop on you.
Yeah, so we have to pick up something else to fill us up because have a lot of time. We have to hurry up and get back for the show.
But did you see how much I've evolved?
Yes, because you smiled the whole time.
I did.
Devin was like, oh, he about to pop. He about to pop, mommy. He about to pop. I was like, oh, no.
And I was cool. I said, no problem. Yeah, I know you forgot my water. Yeah.
You were cool.
You hear my stomach growl?
He was messing up the whole time.
He was.
But he was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, so tonight, fam, we're going in on magical spirit beings. A lot of people may not know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way I can describe what spirit beings are is think about when you were a little kid, a little boy or a girl or whatnot, and the fairy tale stories that you would read, Jack and the Beanstalk, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Cinderella. Give me something here.
Me? I used to like that one dude. The Bernstein Bears.
Man, they didn't get them.
I know, but I used to like that. I like the Bernstein Bears. I didn't really get a lot into magic. I was into, like, werewolves. And
well, that's a
okay,
magical
yeah.
beast.
Werewolves, vampires.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that is what I was into. The fairies and all the other cute stuff with makeup, I didn't roll with those.
Well, don't get it twisted because, you know, just because they look cute don't mean that they are cute.
That's true, and that was a setup to set you up to say that. I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
So, yeah, think about the children's books that you read when you were younger and the movies, all that fantasy world type of things. The things that we were told just weren't simply real.
That's true.
But what if it was real?
Mm.
We've all had situations in our lives where we had that weird thing that happened to us that we just couldn't explain.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was either just so out of ordinary, or it was scary to us that we either blocked it out of our minds, or, you know, we knew no one would believe us, or we did try to tell people and they didn't mm-hmm. believe us. And so we just dismissed it or we forgot about it.
That's one thing about supernatural experiences. The ego will fight for its level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's anything supernatural happens to you that's so far outside of your paradigm, your mind will shut down just so you can keep your sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to a lot of us until we evolve and we grow spiritually. We realize, wait a minute, I remember back when I was 7, this occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Little things happen to us while we're young to let us know for later.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to this reality than what we've been told.
You know, last night, we went to bed really late last night, and you fell out quick. As soon as we hit the bed, you was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up for a minute, because I can never just fall right asleep. I usually lay there and think for a minute or something. And I kept hearing this noise, and it sounded as if someone was dropping coins.
Mm.
And it sounded like, you know how money sounds when it hits the floor?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know how money sounds when it hits the floor and you hear it like drop like ting, 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 ting?
Yeah.
So I was hearing that last night. But the funny thing is, we were in the bedroom and we have carpet.
Hmm.
So where was that sound coming from?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Was it the chain gang? Hmm. Oh, don't you know that's the sound of a man working on the chain? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, family. I'm just feeling real good right now, sweetie.
So it's things like that that happens that you just can't really explain. You know it's something, but you don't know what it is. And then there are those times where you actually witness something.
Yes.
You see something.
Mm-hmm.
You communicate with something.
Yeah.
And you know that that's real. You mm-hmm. know it's not your mind playing tricks on you. You know it's not just, you know, something that you make an excuse for. That was just something going on in the next room, or that was somebody else, or someone's messing with me. No, no.
Yeah.
This really happened.
Really happened.
Real deal.
Mm-hmm. But why do you think we've been tricked into not believing in those things?
Good question. So we have been taught, especially when Christianity came into play, that when religion came into play, especially Christianity, it was a focus on only believing in one God,
mm-hmm.
and that's the Creator. taking no credit away from the Creator. He is the one true God. However, if we have something that, and the Creator is a spiritual being also.
Right.
So if we have something as powerful as the Creator out there, why wouldn't we have something in between the Creator and us?
Mm.
And so what happened was there were a lot of people who were doing what was considered pagan practices. And this is working with different gods and goddesses, working with the elements and the elementals, working with other different spiritual beings. And when you have people who are spread out and working with different things and not, you know, focus on the one thing that the churches were trying to get people focused on, there was no control.
Mm.
And then the way that they went about doing this was they convinced people that these things that they believed in, these things that they were working in, these practices and such not, were evil.
Mm.
And so they start putting fear into people.
Mm-hmm.
The church is really good at putting fear into people, unfortunately. Now, not to say that there's anything wrong with church or, you know, religion, to each its own. However, we all know that there are, if you look in the Bible, there's some very scary stories in the Bible. I remember as a little kid just reading Bible stories and just being like, dang. Mm-hmm. Kind of messed up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so that's why we have been tricked into thinking that these things no longer exist. But, you know, like in movies and things like that, you know, have you know, you've seen a movie where yeah. something happens and you're like, wow, I could see that really happening.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what happened. Those things that were once around, these magical creatures that were once around, they put them in storybooks, they put them in movies, they downplayed who they were and what they could do. They either made them child friendly or they made them scary.
You know, they do things like that to dumb your consciousness down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everyone believes that a fairy isn't true, when you say, hey, I've seen a fairy, they'd be like, you fool.
They'll
you
laugh
fool.
At you.
You'd be like, you know what? Maybe I didn't see no fairy.
Uh-huh.
I didn't really see no fairy. Why am I tripping? What did I eat to make you think I've seen a fairy? But that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't aware that the spiritual beings outnumber us by the billions.
Mm-hmm.
By the billions,
mm-hmm.
but they're interdimensional beings. They're much more evolved than we are.
Way more evolved than we are.
Way more evolved than mm-hmm. we are. So they can come in and out of our reality. They can mask themselves. They can cloak themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can morph into humans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of beings out there you have seen, but you didn't know that they were there.
Have you ever met a person and you looked at them and it was just something about them? You're like, that person isn't human.
Mm-hmm. All
I don't
the time.
Know what they are. I don't know if they're alien, I don't know if they're elf, I don't know what they are, but something's kind of off about this person.
His skin just isn't fitting quite right on that person's face.
So you never know. You could have been, you know, having a conversation with a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been pretty much anything. I don't sleep on anything.
Yeah.
So another thing about these spiritual beings is that you made a good point about how they are highly evolved. They have the ability to shapeshift. They can disguise themselves as humans. They can be itty bitty. They can be giant. They can mm-hmm. be, you know, various different colors. Another interesting thing that you said is that they live in parallel existences.
Exactly.
Sometimes they live amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have families. Some of them do regular things. They have jobs. You know, we might be working for some. Who knows? But there are some that live in their own realms.
You know, there are a lot of subspace domains within the domain that we exist in.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be sitting on your couch listening to this radio show, and you can't even see the beings that share the same exact space as you, and they can't see you. And there are still some other beings that can see both of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how reality is.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in our physical reality is physical to us. But there's a spiritual reality, and then there's a linear, and there's a multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
There's different realities existing at the same time. And that's the beauty of reality. the more you expand your consciousness, the more your perception evolves, you'll be able to see things and feel things more. We're in the physical world here, so we have to feel things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that are around us, you can't see, but you can feel them. You ever walked into a dark room and you just knew something was there, then you instantly start getting a little scared.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, I'm scared. Cut this light on.
And you know what? The thing is that people don't realize is that we too, as humans, are spiritual beings.
That's true.
And that's why we have that sense of knowing that something's in the room with us, or someone's watching us, or something is, you know, that thing that's going bump in the night is, you know, is not a figment of our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we suppress a lot of our gifts and our blessings because we have been tricked into thinking that we don't have any. We've been tricked to think that we're just human beings.
Right. We're light beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Whenever humans go to sleep at night, we go to another dimension where we charge up our earthly bodies.
Mm.
We're like batteries. We're like a computer. If you leave the computer on running without cutting it off, it starts running slow. It starts acting really erratic. The same things happen to your human body. If you don't sleep, you start visualizing things that are really there, but you're told that they're not there.
You know, that's interesting because, yeah, I remember
mm-hmm.
we had an incident that happened with our daughter when she was little.
Yeah.
And she had stayed a night over at her cousin's house, and they were up pretty much almost 24 hours
24
or something
hours.
Like that. And the next day, we had to wake up early, and we were going to a wedding and everything. And we went out to eat, and she started hallucinating.
Out, yeah.
She was freaking out in the restaurant. She started hallucinating. And she was seeing things. She was saying that, you know, she felt like she had lived this moment before, and
yeah.
something was bad was getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the other people in the restaurant were getting scared, like,
what the heck's about to happen?
How did this little girl, you know?
I was like, pass the hot sauce, please. She's freaking out. She's just tired. But we weren't really spiritual like that, so we didn't understand.
We didn't. But, you know, thinking back on it, you know, due to the lack of sleep she was having, she was in that in-between realm of seeing things and not really being able to explain what she was seeing because no one else was able to see it.
Exactly. She was experiencing multidimensional beings and realities. A lot of people don't know that everything that happens to you the next day already is pre-planned in your dream state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you have deja vu,
mm-hmm.
because you've already mapped out everything you're going to do the next day. But sometimes it bleeds over in our conscious mind, and then we have a deja vu experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was having because she didn't go back into the dream state.
Right.
And it was kind of bleeding into her reality.
Mm-hmm.
It was tripping us out.
Yeah.
We got to get her up out of there.
Yeah,
I snuck some chicken out of old Charlie's that night. I mean, it was Golden Corral. It's prestigious place called Golden Corral.
We had a friend that tried to sell us on Golden Corral being this prestigious.
Yeah.
He was going to take us to this prestigious restaurant.
And
we found out it was Golden Corral.
I'm like, dude, I'm not eating no Golden Corral in Atlanta. Anyway.
But yeah, you know what else causes something like that to happen? When you're on drugs.
Yes.
That's the reason why a lot of people like to partake.
Well, you know, when PCP and all that other stuff, heroin, all that stuff, before it got mainstream, scientists were testing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that's out in the streets are really high dose.
Mm-hmm.
But scientists were taking little bitty amounts of it, and they were traveling outside of this reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they were keeping track of where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened up their consciousness so much so that a five-minute trip would probably have the feeling and the experience of 10 years.
Mm.
So they would come back and their consciousness has expanded in 10 years in 5 minutes.
Mm.
Because once you leave this earthly domain, time doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time only exists through your experiences. Time isn't real. We measure it, but if you're having a bad experience, time seems to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're having a pleasurable experience, time goes quick.
Yes, it does.
So time is measured. You know what? This isn't that type of show.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
You're going.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right. A good movie that we saw that touched on something like that was this documentary called DMT. So I would suggest the film, check that out. I think it's on Netflix.
I think they may have taken that off because it was too deep. That was too deep. I can't believe they let that on TV.
Yeah.
But if you can find DMT, go check it out. What's it? Dimetrotriptyline, what is that? DMT.
So I want to remind the fam that if you would like to call in, if you have any questions, if you have a story to share where you've experienced something that's happened, or you've seen something that you just couldn't really explain, maybe as a kid or an adult, you can give us a call at 619-924-0835. If you're already on the line, hit the number 1 and we'll bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't like to talk about it, though. I know we got a lot of callers on the line, but a lot of people don't like to share that experience because they don't want to feel...
But they're crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, family, I am accepting of everyone and everything. I'm known as the crazy one in my family. I've experienced things in my life that I'll go into later.
Mm-hmm.
But as a child, I didn't want to tell people because I didn't want them to think I was crazy. I didn't want to leave my mama. I didn't want to leave my mama. You know what I mean? I was, you know, I've seen a bunch of movies where they put people in crazy jackets when they talk about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So how do you think, you know, how can people recognize when they come across a spiritual being?
You know, sometimes spiritual beings, if they don't exist in this physical plane, they do, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see a being at the corner of your eye, the thing is, don't focus on them. Let your peripheral catch them and then monitor them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. Sometimes you see a being clear as day right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in an earthly domain and we have more power than they do. Some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them. Some of them can really harm you.
Yeah.
You know, most of the beings attack you in your dream state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you, I won't say the most vulnerable, but that's their choice of getting at you.
Yeah. So we have a caller on the line. We're going to go ahead and bring the caller through. Caller from the 513-237. Peace, peace. You on the air. What's your name?
Hi, this is Tish.
What's up,
hey,
Tish? What's up, Tish?
Oh.
I haven't heard that voice in a minute.
I know. How are you doing?
Winning?
I know that's right, winning. I know Jasmine was telling me today about some stuff with you guys, and I was like, oh my God, they're winning.
All day?
Yeah, so happy. I was calling in because, so... I had an experience, and I don't know if this is like a spiritual being, but I think so. I was meditating last week. I just moved into my new place, and I was meditating last week. And in the middle of my meditation, like this voice, I want to say, screamed out Nathan Goodman. And it like broke me out of my meditation. And I was, this has never happened to me before, ever in my life. So I immediately text Jazz and I'm like, does Nathan Goodman mean anything to you? And she was like, no. But when I seen it, the first thing I thought was, this is someone who has passed on. And I was like, I kind of feel like that too. And then fast forward, Jasmine was able to pull this guy named Nathan Goodman who had lived in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, he's a 20-year-old kid. He actually died in a car accident. And I communicated with him through Jasmine. And then yesterday, my daughter, London, I was in her room, and she goes, Mommy, don't walk past the man by my light. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, Mom, don't you see that man standing right there? He's talking to you, and you're ignoring him.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow.
Wow.
It blew me away.
Yeah, that was definitely an experience.
I don't know why it happened to me. I've never, ever had any experience like that in my life. I've never heard anybody. I've never seen anything. And literally, it just out of the blue, it just happened last week when I moved into my apartment, and then now London can see him.
two things. We all have spiritual powers within us, and there are certain activities that you will do that will unlock that DNA within you, mm-hmm. where your magic is. By you choosing to meditate, to evolve spiritually, that's one of your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your gifts. It's not by chance that you and Jazz the medium are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are on the same frequency, so I wouldn't be surprised that you have the same gifts that she has.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to unlock them. You need to jump over another spiritual hurdle in order for it to manifest within you and you gain control over it. Jasmine's came when she put her altar up. That was her magical hurdle. Yours is through meditation, you know? So I believe and I feel and I know that you're a medium too.
Mm-hmm.
You're a medium too. Now that you know you are, now you can hone your skills and practice and just go with what you feel, because the voice is going to sound like your voice. It's going to sound just like you're talking to yourself in your mind. That's how it goes. But you have Jasmine as a best friend. She can help hone your skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a duo. Jazz and Tish.
Wow.
Or Tish and Jazz.
The medium.
Ooh. You heard of bosom buddies? The medium buddies. Ooh. I'm sorry, Tish.
Oh, no. So now that I've had that experience, like, what should I do next?
What I would suggest is learning a divination, because divination is a tool that's going to expound on your innate abilities. It's like a tool, like a plier or something like that. Once you use pliers enough, after a while, you're like, you know what, I don't need these pliers. I can use my hands. And you're going to need a divination tool to bring out that ability to develop your note system. Once you gain your spiritual confidence, you'll be able to do whatever you like. Now, the reason why London is able to see these abilities is because she's an evolved being. The first time I met your daughter when she was 3 years old, I was telling my wife was telling me, wow, Tish has an evolved daughter.
Mm-hmm.
London has been here, and I feel her energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's able. She's just innately. And then she's young. Her pineal is still pure. It hasn't really been tainted, and she's still close to the source. So kids are always able to have a deeper and stronger vision than adults, because we've been brainwashed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you mean what should you do now with your abilities, or what should you do now with the spirit?
Well, kind of both, because Jasmine said that he has attached himself to me. Because we were kind of, me and the spirit was communicating, because I asked Jasmine, I was like, you know, what does he want? And he goes, well, what do you want? You're in my space. And he was like, well, I'm not going to run you out, because now I know that you can hear me. That's what he told Jasmine. And I can sense him there for sure. And it's not, I'm not I'm scared or anything like that, but I know that somebody's there. And I know, like, he said that he's met my mom in spirit form. And so I'm like, well, I feel like, am I supposed to do something? Should I try to communicate with him? Because I've only had that one experience where he was like Nathan Goodman. And it just, like I said, it was so, like, such a big impact, it broke me out of my meditation immediately. So I'm like, is there a reason why right now, in this moment, now I can hear this or connect, or am I supposed to do something for him? You know, what's the next step? Am I supposed to try to develop my skills or something?
Two things. One thing, I can send you, after this call, I want to send you something that you can put up in your house that will help his transition go accordingly. Usually when people have traumatic deaths, like he was in a car wreck, their souls are angry. Mm-hmm. They feel as if they've left too soon, and they don't want to leave because they don't believe that they've experienced the life, a fulfilling life, and he's still attached to this domain. A lot of spirits are like that. There are more spirits walking around here than humans. But anyway, I can send you something that our master shared with us to help that transition occur. Or what you can do is use him to hone your skills. You can use him to hone your skills. Yeah. But it's up to you. I would go how you feel about it. He doesn't seem like he's a negative entity or anything like that. You know? But it's up to you. You have all the power, though. You can tell them to leave at night if you want to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How can I use him to help my skill?
Well, since you're aware that he's there, you can, you know, not a seance or anything like that.
No.
Well, and while you're in your deep meditation, talk to him. Yeah, while you're in your deep meditation, talk to him. Did you want to go ahead, babe? Were you trying to pick up on his energy or something?
I already did.
Go ahead.
Really? Oh, wow.
So as soon as you said his name, I saw him, and what I saw was a young man around 24, 25 years old, who did die in a car accident that was not entirely his fault. I wouldn't say that he's angry, but I would say that he is not ready to cross over, and that's why he is still there. And he is drawn to you in London because of your energy. He is not ready to cross over, so he's not planning on giving up his apartment, pretty much. And I think that's why he was saying, you know, like, well, you're here, so I'm not going to shut you out, but, you know, I'm here too, and I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I personally would not try to form a strong bond with him. And the only reason why I say that is that I don't think that we should form too strong of a bond with spirits, because spirits can feed off of our energy. And you don't want him to feed off your energy, especially since he's not ready to cross over. You can do some things for him, like you can pray for him. You can pray that one of the things that I say at my altar for my ancestors is that I pray that your souls have been liberated. So you can say something along that line. And what that will do is eventually, once you see that you're praying, he sees that you are seeing the crossover as something that can be pleasant, then it may make that transition easier for him to go over versus you entertaining him and him wanting to stick around, if that makes sense.
That's one of the beautiful things about altars. You can use the energy of your ancestor to help usher him away if you like, and they will protect you. Since we've erected our ancestor altar, we haven't had any issues. We haven't. I like that answer, though, babe. Wow. That was beautiful.
Wow. I'm so honored that he chose to communicate with me, and that I was able to, like, hear him. Like, I feel like, wow. Like, I don't know what it was about this spirit specifically that was able to come through. I am really in amazement, and I have been ever since it happened. And then when London seen him yesterday, I'm just like, I just feel like humbled, because I just felt like to be able to connect to the spirit world like that. But I feel like, wow, do I need to do something? I mean, I'm just like amazed at myself that I was even able to have an experience like that.
Do you have your altar up, Tish?
So I had my altar up at my last apartment, but I literally just moved into my new apartment, and I haven't even put my altar together. Like, a lot of my stuff is still in boxes. The only thing that I even did was take my Florida water, and I cleaned some stuff, but that's it.
So what I do is, when you get your altar put together, write on a piece of parchment paper his name and place it on your altar. And when you do, like, your offerings, or you go over to there and meditate or whatever, pray for him there, give him an offering so that he will know that that it's okay to cross over.
Okay.
But but he is very fond of that apartment. It seems like maybe that was either his first apartment or that was his first apartment on his own, but he really liked that apartment. And that was like, you know, I want to say like kind of like a bachelor type pad. It was like he's very fond of that area, so he doesn't want to, you know, let it go because that was his pad.
Okay.
And that's but, yeah, what it feels like. It's strong. The presence is strong. Like, I know that I'm not by myself, and I don't feel like it's just my apartment. And, I feel that. I feel, because I've felt like my mom and stuff before, but I feel like, okay, Tish, this is not just your apartment.
Yeah, it's different when you feel a loved one versus someone you don't know.
Yeah, so that's why I'm just like, the fact that I was able to hear him, I'm like, maybe he wants me to do something. That's what I was asking Jasmine, like, because I've never been able to hear anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing, though. It's good that you are starting to come into your true self. And like Chris said, I would look to do some kind of divination art. You can do tarot cards, oracle cards. You can try automatic writing. You can do
scrying.
That's a good one. Meditation is the best thing that you can do, though. Just meditating 20, 30 minutes a day will expand your consciousness on a level that no other tool can do for you.
If you can make an hour, do an hour, do an hour. But start out with 10, 20, 30 minutes. Start out every month, increase it by like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Because it's going to take you about 30 minutes just to clear out your mind chatter. And usually after 30 minutes, that's when most people quit, right when they're about to get to the good part.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't sense that he's harmful or anything like that. It's just that he's comfortable in that place. So, yeah, as soon as you get your altar, just write his name on the altar and let him know that it's okay for him to cross over and peace and blessings be upon him.
Okay. I'm excited now. Now I, like, when I have another experience, not necessarily with Nathan Goodman, but I want to have another experience. Like, I'm just like kind of blown away. Like, wow.
Another way you can, you know, start opening yourself up more is whenever you notice your daughter, if you notice London, see something, if you see her eyes just like kind of jot across the room, or you see her kind of just blank out or something like that, try to tune in with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my daughter, we do that a lot. She'll, you know, we'll be on separate sides of the room, and I'll see something, and I'll just kind of zone out for a minute, and then she'll tune in with me, and then she'll tell me, like, did you see that too? And then she'll describe it, and I'm like, yeah, I saw that, you know. So try to, like, sync your consciousness up with her and tune in with her. Because she's so powerful, you're going to be able to build off of her.
Oh, wow.
It's funny you say, I always say that London is way more powerful than me, even though she's only 5.
London is
So I'm going to try that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, we're here for you, sis. I mean, you're in a family, so.
Yeah, if you ever have any questions, you know, reach out to us. You know, you got Jazz, and that's what we do.
Facts.
Thank you guys so much.
You're more than welcome, sis. It's great hearing your voice again.
Yeah.
It's nice. I love y'all's show. It's definitely, oh, my God, so encouraging. I feel so much better. I'm so excited to just try to hone in on my gifts. My new sound gifts.
Mm-hmm. Winning.
Yes, winning. Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
I like when a family just start pulling up their spiritual bootstraps.
I know, isn't that something?
Yeah. So proud of her. So proud.
So, perfect timing, because we were talking about how to know when you come across a spiritual being.
Mm-hmm.
She had a great experience that said, hey, my name's Nathan Goodman.
Yeah, all right. Man.
So you may see things. You may hear things, you may
feel things.
Yeah, you just may have a sense of, you know, knowing that something isn't right, or, you know, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you are definitely in tune with all your senses, though, because, and you don't want to second guess yourself. You don't want to dismiss anything, because when you do that, you do yourself an injustice. You're pretty much erasing how far you got and putting yourself back at go again.
It's always good to learn some divine prayers or something
that,
because that's like your spiritual ammo. It will increase your light.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have light that's bright like that, it's going to be hard for anything negative to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing about learning divine prayers, because they transcend dimensions and times. So even when you're in your dream state, if anything negative is surrounding you, you can pull out a divine prayer by memory, and it will, like, obliterate them.
Mm-hmm.
I call them my spiritual Uzis. You know what I mean? Divine prayer you away from me. You trying to get this divine prayer card? Don't let this spirit body fool you.
So let's share with the fam some of our experiences, because a lot of people have experiences, but they dismiss them, or they weren't sure exactly what it was, or if it was just something that, you know, just happened.
Were we going, man?
Yeah, yours is really good, so go ahead.
All right. There was a foul stench in the air.
Yeah, that was just
the funk of 40,000 years.
Will you be serious?
Oh, okay. I was just playing, family. I had a near-death experience when I was 9 years old. And when I came back, I wasn't the same person that I once was. I started to just think different and feel different, and I was able to sense danger before other people could. And when I was 9 years old, I shared a bed with my great aunt. And one night, I felt myself being pulled. And I was like, I don't know what time it was, but I felt myself being pulled out the bed. And when I looked at my great aunt to my left, and she was knocked out. And I looked in front of me where the tugging was coming from, and I seen this red being with big yellow eyes. And a 9 year old seeing something like that, I thought it was like the devil. You know, it was red, it was built, it was like a little built midget or something. With a big old head and big yellow eyes. And I'm watching him pull me. And when he noticed that I was looking at him pulling me, he started to pull me harder. And he was pulling me so hard that I remember grabbing my feet on the covers, trying to grab the covers. So he wouldn't get me. And my great aunt always slept with a Bible under her pillow, because she said when she was younger, she would always see the chain gang come to her bedroom. She grew up in the Deep South, and that was a practice that she did back in the day, and that was her protection. So me knowing that, I grabbed her, and as soon as I grabbed her, the being was gone. And when he disappeared, I noticed that my whole upper torso was hanging out of the bed.
Yeah.
And it was such a traumatic experience until I was well into my late 20s. I couldn't sleep with any of my extremities off the bed. My toe, my arm, my hand, my foot. If anything was off the bed in a dead sleep, I would jerk myself back onto the bed, because I was just that afraid. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those grown men afraid of the dark, because I was like, wait a minute, I was 9. I want that being this big now.
Yeah, you was like, if I grew up, did it grow up too?
Did it grow up too, Mama? But, you know, I was afraid. And then, like, I gathered enough courage to tell the world. And I talked to my spiritual master, and I asked him about it. He was like, you experienced a djinn encounter. And I was like, a djinn encounter? He told me all about it and what it does and what it was trying to do. And genes love the energy of young, powerful young men. They recognize your resonance and they want to take it. And they would sell it. They would do whatever, enslave it. And it, I wouldn't have been like, I wouldn't have vanished physically. I would have just died in my sleep. And no one would ever know. They would have thought that it was the car wreck. I mean, me hitting that car that did it.
Mm.
Or he had a concussion and he died.
Mm.
More people would die in their sleep, and doctors don't know why they die every night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, thousands, tens of hundreds of thousands of people die in their sleep. But anyway, he gave me a remedy on what to do to take the resonance of the energy of that gin out of my system. And I'm going to share it with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do, gin doesn't love metallic water. So my master told me to get some nails, put it in water, say a divine prayer over it, let it sit for a minute or two, and drink the water. Now, when I did this ritual, I felt funny afterwards because I've had this gin resonance with me my entire life. And when I did this ritual, let me tell you, family, I felt weird. I've never thought more about the gin than ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But now the energy of that gin is gone, and I'm developing my powers now. I have more spiritual confidence about myself now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my practices more now. Because a lot of things that affect us spiritually, if you're not aware of them, they will suppress your will to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about a lot of these beings and things that go bump in the night that you're not aware of. Once you become aware of them and you combat them, you'll start growing.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So we have a whole list of different spiritual beings that we want to cover with the fam and tell you, like, who they are, what they do, how to get rid of them, how to invite them, if that's what you want to do. So since you brought up the djinn, let's talk about the djinn.
Okay.
So like you said that something very interesting. Djinns are attracted to young boys, usually that are going around in their puberty type stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about djinns is that they are master shapeshifters. So they can appear as anything. They can, you know, yours appeared as a little built red man.
Mm-hmm. Big yellow eyes. He was cut up. I was jealous. Like, I want a six pack.
They can appear in human form.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't familiar with the term djinn. So djinn is the same thing as a genie, except for genie is a way that the European and Americans have kind of made it friendly, made it cute, made it something cartoonish. Made it so that, you can rub a lamp and this thing will come out. And not all djinns are dark. There are some good djinns, there are some dark djinns. Just like with anything, there's light and dark. There's light and dark humans, there's light and dark djinns, there's light and dark ghosts, there's light and dark fairies and elves and
polarity
dragons.
And
there's polarity in everything. So not all djinns are dark. They do tend to come from very hot places. They are known for coming from like the Islamic areas, Africa,
Arab nations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Areas of that nature. If you've seen the TV show or read the book American Gods, there is a story where the author wrote about a djinn that lived in New York City that drove a cab. And this is something that should not be considered far-fetched because it could be. No one really, think about it. Do you really, have a relationship with a cab driver or your Uber driver or whatever? They take you to your destination and that's it. And they come across a lot of different people within a short period of time. And that's something that they like. They like the energy of being around people. They don't really like crowds as much, but they like interacting with people. They love stories. They love to tell stories, and they love to have stories told to them. If you ever find yourself being encountered by a djinn, one of the things you can do to kind of, take their focus away from what they came to do is to tell them an exciting story.
Mm.
You know, keep them in suspense. Mm. They love suspense.
Yeah.
Suspenseful stories. You can get salt and protect yourself with salt. They do not like salt. It won't stop them, but they won't pursue you. The thing with the nails is very powerful because they don't like iron or steel. And so what our master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, had to do was instead of keeping nails or something like that around you, he had you put it in a drink form, say a divine prayer over it, and ingest it so that it was in your system.
Mm-hmm.
And that was extremely powerful.
Nasty, too.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, it wasn't tasty.
Oh, I bet.
I was like, oh, my God. Gin be gone.
Yeah. They do not like steel and iron. It repels them. It's painful for them. And so that's why he had you do that, because it won't be able to feed off your energy or anything else like that anymore. They don't come out of lamps. They can, but, you know, that's something that we kind of, you know, over here drawn up into to make it into like a cartoon or whatever. They can come out of anything. They can be in any kind of item. They can be in a ring. They can be in jewelry. They can be in a pot. They can be, you know, your cab driver. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They can manifest themselves in any way. They're extremely powerful. They're extremely powerful. And not all of them like to grant you wishes either. So don't think that if you come across a djinn, you're going to get three wishes.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
So, yeah, that's the story of the djinn. I'm kind of glad that they're fond of boys.
I'm not. I'm glad I'm a man now, though. Man.
So, for me, when I was younger, I had a lot of experiences of seeing ghosts. I would see things that other people couldn't see. And it kind of got to the point where I just, you know, I tried to point it out to my sisters and it kind of freaked them out. So I stopped saying it because it would scare them too much. And them getting really scared just made me even more scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I would see things coming out of the walls. I would see things standing near me, standing around other people. Not really doing anything, just hovering around, you know, floating by. When I was very little, I saw these little colorful things flying around the room. And I remember I kept trying to catch them. And every time I tried to catch them, they would disappear or fly away. And I didn't know what they were. And they were like little bitty, kind of like lightning bugs or something.
Hmm.
And they had these very fast wings that I didn't even know they were wings. I thought it was just light. But their wings were going so fast, it looked like just a little ball of light.
Hmm.
They were fairies.
Hmm.
And it's weird because last night I had that dream of me trying to catch fairies. And it made me think about my childhood. Like, yeah, I remember, you know, doing it as a little kid, trying to catch these little, you know, colorful balls in the air. And I couldn't catch them because they were too fast. But that's the thing about spiritual beings. They will reveal themselves. They can reveal themselves to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But children are more than likely to see them. And they're more likely to reveal themselves to children. Because like you said earlier, they have that innocence about them where they can see things. They haven't been brainwashed and, you know, told all these different stories of what is and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, animals can see them too.
Yeah.
Dogs, cats, things like that. If you're around a pet and it just starts barking at, you know, a dog, and it starts barking at something that's not there, it's something there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They be focused too.
Look at that Scruffy.
But dang it, Scruffy.
So did you have, I know you were looking up some things.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Wendigo.
Okay.
The Wendigo is a demonic spirit believed by the Native Americans to possess humans into cannibals.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's where they got the zombie thing from.
Mm.
Because when you eat the flesh of a human, the spirit of the Wendigo will consume you. meaning that you would crave more human flesh. And if you keep doing it over time, your skin will turn yellow, your eyes will get sunken in, and you'll have an endless craving of human flesh.
Wow.
Yeah, the Wendigo phenomenon or psychosis is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it normally happens in cold climates and places that are in, like, the wooded areas.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movie that I seen years ago about this, but I can't remember the name of it. It was about these Puritans that came over and was messing with these Native Americans. And they ran out of food, and they started eating each other. And this one guy just started just killing people for fun, just to eat their flesh. But they didn't say that he had Wendigo psychosis, but now that I've read about Wendigos, I understand that he did.
Mm.
I just thought that was pretty deep. Even if you eat another human for survival purposes, like there's no food or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
the Native Americans believe that it's better to kill yourself than to become a Wendigo and get, you know, consumed by their spirit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, since all these neighboring cultures are around America now, the Wendigo psychosis isn't as prevalent as it once was,
mm-hmm.
but the energy of the Wendigo still is prevalent.
Hmm.
Well, that's what the Native Americans believe.
Hmm.
I'm not eating nobody. I only like dark meat, and I ain't eating my brothers.
Okay.
I like it juicy. Yeah.
All right, Phil. We are at the top of the hour. If you want to call in with any questions or you have any stories that you want to share, our phone number is 619-924-0835. We're going to be going for about, another 30 minutes?
Yeah. Don't be scared. Tell us we want to know.
We'll be here for another 30 minutes. So if you want to share something, get it off your chest.
We all have something supernatural happen to us. Talk about it. We don't know who we are. We knew who Tish was because he had fists. We might not know you. Let me hear it. Yeah, we might be able to help you.
Silly.
We may be able to help you.
We may.
Yeah.
You never know.
But go ahead, man. You got anything else?
So, let's talk about ghosts a little bit.
Okay.
So, like we were telling Tish earlier, that there are some ghosts that who transition, who pass away. And they're not ready to cross over. They don't want to cross over. They have grown to love this particular life. And usually the people who don't want to cross over have become attached to material things in this reality. They still feel like, you know, even though they don't actually do it, they believe that they're going to get the fulfillment of, you know, eating food or driving a car or being in your apartment or, you know, visiting family and things of that nature. And then there are some ghosts that don't realize that they have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're still living. And they don't realize that they need to cross over. And then you have those that realize that they're dead, but don't know how to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to get to the light. Remember in Poltergeist?
There was the light, Carol Ann.
Well, they were drawn to Carol Ann because of her childlike innocence. She had gifts, and they wanted her to take her to the light.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to cross over, but they couldn't find their way over.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the little older lady that was in the movie?
Yeah.
She's like, I'll take them to the light.
And the fan turned on. And it was like, what the fan that we could see with our little old lady hair was blowing.
Go, Caroline. Don't go to the light.
I remember that. Like, my mama took me to see that the drive-in. I was afraid of the light.
Well, I mean, that just goes to show you that a lot of the things that we read in books and see in movies are actual and factual. They get downplayed as being fictional or comedy or horror or whatever, but there's a lot of truth to it. It's just, you know, sometimes it's nitpicked around or there's little details that have been switched around or whatever, or it's just been disguised as entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that movie was something for me because when I was little, I remember, you know, seeing some things. Some things weren't, you know, scary, but some things were very scary.
Mm-hmm.
I remember always seeing this scary looking man. And it's funny because my niece found some childhood pictures of me. And in the pictures, you see this man's face.
That was out there.
Yeah. So, yeah, and as an adult, it just confirmed that I wasn't crazy as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That, okay, what I saw was real. There he is. I remember, and seeing that picture and seeing his face, it was like, yep, that's what he used to look like. That's him. That's what I used to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were some things that were not scary. There were some things that were friendly. So you do have your friendly ghosts, and you have your, you know, ghosts that don't want to be bothered, and then you have those that are a little frightening.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the incubus or the incubi. Now, the incubus, they're like male evil spirits that have sex with women while they're sleeping, and they impregnate them. Yeah.
My fault. Go ahead.
What, that sounds spooky or something?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What? Have sex with women while they're sleeping. That right there?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of women don't realize that the incubi can shapeshift and make themselves look like your boyfriend, mm-hmm. somebody you really like, or even your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the succubus is a female version of the incubus.
Hmm.
And this is how they're created. Whenever a man or woman...
If you have children in the room, they might want to leave.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
If you have any children, I'll give you 30 seconds to get them out the
they
room.
They probably shouldn't be listening to the show anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of dark.
You have 20 seconds.
Go ahead. Come in their ears. Don't let them come to them.
But if you're... pleasuring yourself without another human present. And if any of your milk of the gods hit the air, whenever your semen doesn't go into a womb, that's how a succubus or incubi is created, by that pleasurable experience. And again, I'm not saying stop having these pleasurable experiences, because I ain't. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that's how they're created.
So, is it any time that you do it, or is it just...
Every time.
Then everyone would have one then, right?
That's right.
Mm.
And a lot of these entities, they have sex with us in the dream state.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all had them sex dreams.
I know I do every night. I'm like, well, I must be a lucky cat. And I'm just joking. I don't have every night. But most of the time, you won't even remember it happens.
Mm.
You won't even remember it happens. Yeah. And it's real.
You just wake up wanting a cigarette. Huh?
Wake up wanting a ham sandwich. But I don't eat pork. Where's the ham? Where's the ham? With cheese, please. You go on some. My stuff is too bad.
Your stuff is out there.
I mean, this is real.
It is.
I'm trying to get folks real stuff.
All right. So I want to talk about fairies. So a lot of times when we think of fairies, we think of these little friendly creatures that fly like butterflies, and you think of Tinkerbell and things of that nature. And the truth is, there are a whole bunch of different races of fairies.
Yeah.
So there isn't just one type of fairy. You have your green fairies, your flower fairies, your birth fairies, your, I can't even think all of them now. But there's a lot of different types of fairies. And they all, troop fairies, solitary fairies, but they all have, their own thing that they do. The birth fairy, which a lot of people may be familiar with the cartoon Sleeping Beauty. Remember in Sleeping Beauty did you ever see Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, when she ate that apple?
That's Snow White.
Oh, well, no, I didn't see Sleeping Beauty. I'm a dude, so my mama wasn't raising no punk, so she wouldn't let me watch all the cartoons like that.
Anyway.
In
the cartoon.
Wait a minute, that's the Seven Dwarfs. My bad. Go ahead, baby.
That's still Snow White.
My bad. I don't know about Sleeping Beauty. I heard of her, but I was like, I ain't care about that.
So Sleeping Beauty was the cartoon about the king and the queen who had a baby, Aurora, and the three little fairies came to bless her after she was born.
Nah.
You don't remember this?
I can't think about Rumpelstiltskin all of a sudden. Wasn't she a princess or something? But go ahead.
Just be quiet.
Okay.
So in the movie, in the cartoon book movie, Sleeping Beauty, when she was a baby, the fairies came to visit her. These would be considered birth fairies. And what the birth fairies do is they are attracted to human births. So when a baby is born, they would come into the home and they would bless the baby with good fortune. They would tell you what their future holds. They would tell you what they're going to be. And they would give them wishes, like, we wish you to be beautiful. We wish you to be, you know, a good singer. We wish you to have money, things like that. And so in the movie, the three fairies came and they set up this elaborate thing for the fairies, and what it was an offering.
Really?
Yeah. So in the cartoon, if you haven't seen the cartoon, go back and watch it. You're going to be tripped out. But in the cartoon, they had this big presentation where they invited the whole village to come out and eat and drink with them, and they kind of disguised it as kind of like a revealing of the baby or a baptism of the baby or something like that. But what it really was that they wanted these fairies to come in and bless the baby. And so the fairies were happy to come. They were, you know, excited. They were going to bless this princess and everything. And they were excited about the food and the drinks and stuff that were going to be there, i.e. offering.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was one fairy that was not invited.
Mm.
And she was the evil fairy.
She a fairy godmother?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, I'm getting excited. I need to go back watch Sleeping Beauty.
Remember, okay, I know you've seen this movie. Remember the movie we saw with Angelina Jolie, Maleficent?
Yeah, Maleficent. Yeah, that was good.
That was Sleeping Beauty story.
Really?
She was the evil witch. They called her a witch, but she was actually a fairy. Remember in Maleficent, they described her as being a fairy.
Yeah.
She was upset, you know, in the cartoon, she was upset that they didn't invite her to the blessing. So she ended up cursing Sleeping Beauty, and she said that on her such as 16th birthday or whatever, she was going to touch the thimble and she would go into a deep sleep.
Mm.
Any of that sound familiar?
Kinda. I think I fell asleep on that movie. Go ahead.
But that's the whole thing. That's where the whole story of birth fairies come from, because if there was not an offering set out for the fairies, or if the fairies were disrespected or they were, you know, dismissed or weren't treated with respect or whatever, they, instead of blessing the babies, they could curse the babies.
Wow.
They could curse the parents.
Mm.
And they would do, you know, fairies have a great sense of humor. If you watch any of the, like, cartoons and movies and stuff like that, they're always laughing and playing pranks and jokes and stuff like that. So some of the things that they would do, they would, like, you know, bless the dead to have a bald head or, you know, something silly like that. But, yeah, that's where birth fairies come from.
Yeah, never knew that. We have to watch Sleeping Beauty one of these days.
Yeah, you need to watch it because you don't know the story.
Yeah. I'm going to watch some UFC or something. UFC fairy.
Go ahead and share one of your dark stories.
I don't want to share no more stories on the fairies.
Well, not all fairies are good, though. There are dark fairies, too. There are some fairies can be very hostile. Mm. They don't like to be bothered. They don't like to reveal themselves.
Mm.
A lot of people think that fairies are just little miniature people, and fairies are also shapeshifters. They can, you know, produce themselves to be the same height as a regular human.
Mm. Well, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I ain't got it. I'm stuck on these fairies. Why I never paid attention to Sleeping Beauty? Blame it on my mama. You don't need me to watch no Sleeping Beauty.
I'm going to make you watch Sleeping Beauty now.
You made me watch Sesame Street.
You know what, but I like the story Maleficent a lot better, because it told more of the real story of what was really behind the whole fairy and why she was the way she was, because she wasn't always bad. She became bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good movie.
Hmm. I will want to talk about vampires, but people don't want to hear that.
Why not?
You know, I'm going to talk about vampires. Now, first off, family, I won't tell you too much, because vampires' technology outdates ours by like 30,000 to 40,000 years, and their lifespan is like 20,000 years. And know it sounds a little weird, but they can cloak themselves into having a human form, you know, and they are real. They have shots out there that when you get bit by one, most people die. Most people die, except young men, really by the age of 18 to 25, they usually make it. That's why there aren't that many women vampires, because they can't take the bite. And they live in cities above our earthly domain. But they are real, and they can read your mind. So I don't want to say too much about that. I want people walking around thinking about vampires and say, you know about me.
Yeah, I didn't know you was going to go into the real, real about vampires. So
yeah, I'm done. We're going to erase this part of the show. I don't go out at night. It don't matter. Day or night. It's not like the sun is going to hurt them either now.
Yeah, that's all movie entertainment, you know.
You got to have faith. They don't matter about that. They don't care about no cross.
You know, a lot of vampires are fond of crosses.
Yeah, a lot of vampires are movie stars.
Mm-hmm.
Actors.
Mm-hmm.
Rich folk.
Mm-hmm.
They paid. You know what? I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't want to go here, babe.
All right, let's talk about L's.
Ooh. I don't spell them.
Spell it.
ELF.
I said L's.
Oh. I don't spell L's. Yeah. VES. That's one of my kryptonite spelling. Very smart. But I will always kick that a spelling bees for being too funny. I got my first SWAT in a spelling bee, if you can believe that.
I believe it. So elves are another nature spirit, like fairies. And when I say nature spirits, what I mean by that is that they are usually somewhere in like a forest or in mountains or living underground, things of that nature. So it was once believed that elves lived in a place called Alfheim, which means elf home. And it was in a parallel realm similar to our existence. If you've seen the movie, have you seen the movie? I know you've seen this, the movie Bright with Will Smith. And that movie was great at depicting how elves more than likely live in this current, you know, in our current state. In that movie, they lived in the same realm as humans, but all magical beings did. But they had their own community where, you know, if you weren't an elf, you weren't allowed.
Everyone was a baller.
Everyone was shy.
I mean, it was like everybody was wearing Versace. Like,
yeah.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Versace socks and drawers. I was like, oh, my, is that silk?
And they were all very beautiful, you know, creatures. They all had, like, perfect features or, you know, whatever you would consider perfect features to be. But, you know, they like, had this sense of just perfection.
Evolved beings.
Yes.
Very smart, very magical.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our magic comes from elf magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, my bad. Go ahead.
And another thing that people don't realize about elves is that they are extremely skillful.
Oh.
They are warriors.
Yes.
They will mess you up.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings portrays the elves probably the closest out of anything that you'll see.
They don't want to fight, but if they do, they will listen.
They will mess you up.
Yeah.
They are great at archery. They are very skilled with a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, the movie, the cartoon Peter Pan was an elf. And he could fly, he had a dagger, he was a prankster, also pranksters. What was the other movie I was going to say? I can't think of it. But elves are, they're very warrior-like. They can tell the future. They can bless you with wealth, although they more than likely won't.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a thing that happened. The elves and the humans were, at one time, before Christianity, were very, they had a pact. And they had an agreement where they could live side by side and it wouldn't be any issues. But once Christianity came into play, the church displayed them as being evil, as being diseased and causing trouble.
Shannara
like that.
Chronicles. That's what you were thinking about.
Yeah, that was the movie. Yeah, that was another one where they showed them and how they really are. So they were created as a joke. They were either created as a joke or they were created as something scary and horrific. And when I say a joke, I mean in the sense of like Santa Claus and his elves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not how elves really are. And the whole thing about them working, building toys and, you know, working for the human race and delivering toys and stuff like that, to them is considered like disrespectful.
It's almost like the N-word. Make me a toy.
I'm done with you.
Ho, ho, ho. Sorry, elves. I'm just playing.
Yeah, don't be messing with the elves.
I bet not. I'm skillful too, but I ain't no elf skillful.
But not all elves are dark. Some elves can be really hostile, can be very volatile. But some of them are very nice. Some of them are extremely gifting. They are very alluring. They're charming, you know. So, yeah, there's, like I said, with everything, there's that balance of light and darkness.
I think Spock was a play on elf, even though they said he was from Vulcan. Would you see those ears? That's elf.
Christopher.
I'm just being real, man. They throw it in your face like that.
Mm.
Are you from Vulcan? No. Would you make me a toy? No. I'm done.
Alright, let's see. Another nature spirit would be dwarfs.
Ooh, dwarfs.
So a lot of people get elves and dwarfs confused, but they're actually two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up Snow White.
Yeah.
That's the seven dwarfs.
Sleepy, sneezy, happy, grumpy, dopey, bashful, doc.
You
I know that.
That?
Yeah.
How can you remember
because
that?
Because they were little warriors.
Funny you say that. Dwarves are warriors.
Yes.
That's
why you gotta watch that Huntsman.
Huntsman was really good at displaying what dwarves really are.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings also.
Yeah.
Dwarves are short little people that are extremely strong.
Yeah.
With big heads.
Huge heads. Huge. In the hood, we call those, let me chill.
Stop. Don't do that.
I'm not going to disrespect anybody with a big head.
And it's funny, when you think about the seven dwarfs, you said, what were their names again?
Sleepy, sneezy, happy, grumpy, dopey, bashful, doc.
So all of those emotions are emotions that anyone can have.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that really stands out to me the most is doc.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about Snow White, Doc was the leader.
Yeah.
And Doc was Doc a doc? Was he a doctor?
He wasn't no doctor, but he was the smartest one.
He was more than likely an herbalist.
Ooh, that makes sense.
Or shaman.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. What about sneezy? That's not an emotion.
No, I think maybe where they got sneezy from was the fact that they are forest spirits.
Maybe they have some allergies or
maybe
something.
Maybe allergies, yeah.
Mm. Sleepy though, what's his power?
He was sleepy
to wake
because
him
he was
up
always
every time.
Working.
Yeah.
Dwarves are also known as miners. Remember in Snow
I
White?
Yeah. I hope it's off to work we go.
They were always mining. Well, dwarves really are miners. And the reason why they're miners is because they're always on the lookout for different minerals and gems and metals and things like that because they work with a lot of those items. Dwarves are extremely magical, and what they can do is they can extract their magical energy into different items and turn them into, you know, whatever.
Magical talismans.
They have created weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They have created amulets and talismans. They have created jewelry. The necklace that Freya, the goddess Freya wears, was created by dwarves.
Wow.
The spear that Odin has was created by dwarves.
Really? I didn't know that.
They say, and I'm not really 100% on this, but they say, but I'm sure it's possible, the hammer that Thor has was created by dwarves.
Mm. Wow.
And so...
You know what? In Ragnarok, in the last Thor, that was a giant dwarf that made his hammer.
Ah! Well,
remember
see,
that?
There you go. I didn't remember that. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he was the same dwarf that was in the dragon stuff with the dragon queen woman. Stuff that's the greatest TV show ever.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
The midget in that, the small person in that movie, he was a dwarf in Thor.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But he was a giant dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my bad.
So, yeah, there's a lot to that. They say that also that there, the ring, I believe it was a ring or a necklace that Thor's wife wore. It was called the Ring of Odin. And, or it was a necklace. I can't remember. But they say that dwarves made it, and anyone who wore it would be blessed with wealth.
Where's this at?
I know, right? But yeah, so dwarves are very magical. They can be very friendly, and they can also be hostile.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to be messed with. They don't reveal themselves to other people. They can, but they choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot to that as well. I love the magical beans.
I love the magical beans too. Looks like I need some nail water.
And you know what? Dwarves are fond of other warriors.
They love
me. They respect you.
They love me.
Oh, no.
They do.
I don't know. But they like you because you make fun of them.
I ain't making fun of no dwarves.
You make fun of everything.
Because I'm a warrior.
Anyway. Well, fam, we're getting ready to close this show out. Did you have any other little spooky things that you wanted to share, Mr. Spooky Man?
No, I ain't trying to scare my audience. They already think I'm crazy. Little red man pulling me out the bed. You drinking nail water? I'm good.
Well, we still have like a lot of different spiritual creatures that we haven't been able to discuss. So we'll probably save that for a show. I don't know, maybe next month or something.
Yeah, next month.
We'll pick it up then. We can go in on dragons and mermaids. And
this is around Halloween time.
We could do it then.
Yeah.
What are we talking about next week?
I have no idea.
We'll think of something.
Yeah.
Something spooky for the month of Halloween.
Oh. Something dark and nasty.
No, not dark and nasty.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk.
We'll talk about something. I can't think of anything right now, but we'll think of something. So we're going to go ahead and bring that to a close. Not sure when we're going to pick up the part two of the spiritual beings, but we'll go into more of the different beings and how they relate to the children's stories that we've always been told or different movies that we see, and put the connection together as, you know, 1 + 1 and how they equal 2.
Mm.
So anything else you want to add tonight?
That's it, family.
All right, fam. So we are going to peace you out with love and light. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris.
Just Chris?
I'm the Dark Lord.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just joking, family. I'm a Dark Lord. I'm a light being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a divine conscious soul out here.
Right.
Spirit all day.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit ain't trying to hear it.
We didn't get to us being spiritual.
We didn't, did we? Subscribe to my YouTube page, The Enlightened Journey.
Mm-hmm. And fam, if you have any questions or you would like a reading, you can reach out to me on my website, IamDivineQueen.com. And
if you like to read, go to Amazon.com. Pick out my books, The Enlightened Taught, Poverty Consciousness, and Wealth Consciousness.
Did you say your YouTube page?
My YouTube is THEE, The Enlightened Journey.
All right. All right, fam. If you have any suggestions or you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on our Facebook page, Twin Flame Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find me on Instagram at @IamDivine_Queen. But for now, we are out. Again, sending you out with peace, love, and light.
Peace.
See you next week.